Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. On December 3rd, 1818, Illinois became the 21st United State of America. Part of the reason our show is called The 21st, if you hadn't caught that. To commemorate 2 centuries and 2 years of Illinois statehood, we're joined by Laurent Pernot. He's a former reporter and public affairs consultant and now works as a college administrator in Chicago. He first came to Illinois as a foreign exchange student from France and now calls the state home. His forthcoming book is called There and Here, Small Illinois Towns with Big Names. Laurent Pernot, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. Happy birthday to Illinois.
Happy birthday to Illinois, indeed. Listeners, if there is a small town in Illinois with a big name that you are curious about, you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 1-800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So, Laurent, you're originally from France, and have lived in Illinois for several decades. I wonder when you first heard about Paris, Illinois, or what we call Paris, Illinois. What was your reaction to that town name?
Well, it was a funny moment. Actually, someone told me, "Oh, you're from France. I'm from Paris." So I started speaking French to them, and they said, "No, I Paris, Illinois." I said, "Wait, there's a Paris, Illinois?"
Oh, and that's come on, really, this is a real story.
Yes, this was a teacher in high school where I was an exchange student, wow. And so I guess that planted the seed. The curiosity of all these wonderfully named towns and what was behind them. And, many of them are rooted in for most of them, European cities and countries. But, they're uniquely Illinois and uniquely American. And just most of them are just so charming and a delight to discover.
Now, there are so many Illinois towns with international names, often pronounced differently. I think of Vienna, we pronounce it Vienna. San Jose is San Joe's. Is this something that's unique to Illinois in your experience?
I think it's uniquely American, but I think a lot of people make fun of that, and I think it's wonderful that we've adopted these names and made them our own. But I once did ask for directions to Vienna, and people looked at me blankly to realize I was looking for Vienna. So these are things you have to learn. But a lot of the towns that really were founded by people from those countries tend to have kept the pronunciation. And a lot of towns that were founded more out of hope for the future or inspiration by bigger names, a lot of the little Egypts in towns in southern Illinois, like Cairo, Thebes, some of those names of pronunciation evolved. That's because there wasn't a culture from that country to kind of keep the name pronounced the way it was in the old country.
You write in your book that there's a depiction of Illinois as cornfields and red barns, and our state does have that, and there is beauty there. But once you venture off the interstate in a lot of places, you see a lot more. And I wonder if you can talk about some of those surprising places that you've found in Illinois.
Yes. The interstate by design stays away from towns, right? So all people see maybe is the sign. But, when you take the ferry from Grafton to Brussels, Illinois, and get into this hilly country, you really feel like the ferry has transported you in time, in a place where, most of the structures are actually historical designations. Norway, Illinois is really the Ellis Island of Norwegians. It's not just named after Norway. Thousands and thousands of Norwegian immigrants came through Norway, and probably many of the Norwegians across the Midwest had their ancestors come through Norway, Illinois. And to this day, there is monuments, one dedicated by the King of Norway. That's how important it was in the history of the country and the immigration from the country. So there's story after story, Geneva, Illinois, Ottawa, Illinois, story after story of those moments.
Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. We're talking about, today is Illinois' birthday, statehood day, December 3rd, 1818. Illinois became the 21st state. We're speaking with Laurent Pernot. He's a former reporter and public affairs consultant, now works as a college administrator in Chicago. His new book is called There and Here, Small Illinois Towns with Big Names. If there is a town in Illinois with a big name that you might be curious about, you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. 9455. Let's talk about your book. I understand this was quite a long time in the making. You talked about the seed of curiosity being planted when you were in high school, but even the process of researching and visiting a lot of these places, how did that come about?
Well, 10 years of crisscrossing the state and realizing there were more towns. You know, you start with the obvious ones. You start with the Paris and the Cairos, and then you realize there is the Cubas and Havana, and which also is not pronounced like its namesake. There is the Chinese Triangle, as I like to call it, Canton, Pekin, and Shanghai City. It becomes almost endless. And I have to say, there's a couple small towns that did not make the book, but I think just about everyone is there. For a while, I thought I would also go for towns that named after famous people, but you have to draw the line somewhere. It's interesting, Brian, you mentioned the cornfields have their own beauty. Savoy, Illinois, which is just outside Champaign, was actually named after the region in Europe and actually visited, named after the royalty from Savoy. The Count of Savoy, who was visiting Illinois and visited with Abraham Lincoln in D.C., actually wrote at length about just how beautiful the steppe-like cornfields and farms were in Illinois. So a lot of the visitors actually embraced both the towns they see. Charles Dickens fell in love with Lebanon, Illinois. And a lot of the people embrace both the towns and the more natural aspects of the state too.
Yeah, and I think I've read that Champaign, Illinois itself was, I guess it was named after Champaign County, Ohio, but that in turn was named for the French province of Champagne. It's all over the place.
Where the spelling had been so changed that it bore little resemblance, but you point to an important thing is a lot of towns like Norway, Illinois, for instance, were named for, and Brussels, were named for the European town directly. A lot of towns like Paris, like Versailles, were named that way because of places in Kentucky or Ohio. And so you have a place out east that is named for the European country or the European city. People come to Illinois from Kentucky, for instance, and name it for their town or a town near where they were in Kentucky. And that's how we end up, for instance, with Versailles.
And I don't want to let it go. A moment ago, you mentioned Charles Dickens fell in love with Lebanon. What is the story there?
He was here in America kind of doing what people do today, but it was a lot harder then. He was researching a book. He stayed at a hotel that I believe is called the Mermaid Inn in Lebanon, Illinois. And, you know, he said it was on par with some of the nicer establishments he might have stayed at in England. Now, on the other side, he hated the countryside around there, but he really liked the town. And they still have Dickens Days in Lebanon every year.
Fascinating. You also write about Illinois' capital cities, and it obviously the current capital is Springfield, but your book actually lists six capitals of Illinois. Which one is the first?
So Cahokia Mounds, which a lot of people know because it was it's the only site in the Midwest to be a UNESCO World Heritage Site, was the site of the largest pre-Columbian civilization, so the largest indigenous civilization in North America.
This is before the arrival of Europeans on the continent.
Before the arrival of Europeans, yeah. And actually it started to be on a decline before then, but really was the site of the transition of power and the transition of land ownership. A lot of Europeans, especially then the French, came to that part of the world and at first befriended the indigenous people and eventually pushed them aside. And eventually we know there was a lot of violence on both sides as the indigenous people tried to stake claim to their culture and their land. And, you know, a lot of violence ensued, but that's the history of Cahokia Mounds, which is also undone, you know, by disease as well as by violence. The French established Fort de Chartres here, which was the capital of Upper Louisiana and really the capital of French power in the Midwest for decades on end until the English defeated the French, and then the Americans took over early in the 19th century. So Southern Illinois was not only the power center for the state, it was the power center for much of the Midwest, long before Chicago even was a thing and even had a name. What's important too is, you know, what I call Illinois Atlantis, Kaskaskia, which was the first official capital of the state, is also in Southern Illinois, was swallowed up by the Mississippi, but it has amazing vestiges. We travel out east to see some historical towns, and some of them are right here in our own state. We have to mention though that the French didn't just bring trappers and some finer things to the area, they brought slavery. And the English after them and the Americans after them embraced slavery to the point where the first governors of the state and the first lieutenant governor of the state owned slaves. And that's something that we often don't pay attention to in a place called the Land of Lincoln.
Absolutely. We actually had a conversation earlier this year with a Southern Illinois teacher who has written a book about slavery in Southern Illinois. We're running out of time here, but you write in your that a lot of these places in your book are disappearing. What do you mean by that?
Well, the pictures from Cairo were a few years back. Several of the buildings have been razed. Cairo is a good microcosm of the state and the country, I think. There's grandeur and there's beauty and there's very ornate buildings, beautifully restored and you know that speak of wealth, and then there's really unspeakable desolation and decay. There is a farm in the book in Hampshire that it's gone. It's being replaced by what looks like to be a subdivision. The Mississippi is again jumping its bed in Southern Illinois. There was a wonderfully ornate house in Lyons across the street from what is a castle tower in Lyons, Illinois, which is in the book. But the house across the street was looked like a castle too. It looked a little Austrian to me, actually not French, but you know, it burned down. We have a lot of wonderful vestiges in the state, and I think we need to focus as a state on preserving as much of it as possible.
Laurent Pernault is the author of a new book called There and Here, Small Illinois Towns with Big Names. If people want to find it, you have a website set up. Can you give the address there where people can go and place an order?
Sure. The ebook is on Google Books and on Amazon, though I have to say Google Books is a lot kinder to authors than Amazon. So if you have a choice, shop there. And then I have a link to all various books and this on the website, laurentpernault.com. Where you can, laurentpernautbooks.com, where you can also order their hard copy book.
Okay, and we will have a link to that on our own website, 21stshow.org, and we will tweet that out at 21st as well. Laurent Pernault, thank you so much for being on with us today.
Ryan, thanks for having me. Again, happy birthday, Illinois.
Happy birthday, Illinois. And on that note, to mark Statehood Day, we end our broadcast with our state song, Illinois. This version was released earlier this year by the University of Illinois School of Music. It's a composite recording of the UI Women's Glee Club and the Varsity Men's Glee Club. Andrea Solia conducted. The soloist is Barrington Coleman.
Illinois, Illinois. By thy prairies verdant growing, Illinois, Illinois, comes an echo on the breeze, rustling through the leafy trees, and its mellow tones are these, Illinois, Illinois, and its mellow tones are
The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi, Brielle Skullark, and Chantel Vaca. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Happy birthday, Illinois. We'll talk to you next week.